Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Hi, gang. Now, if you'll all be quiet, we'll start the show.
TMOS Classic. Friday Flashback.
Do we have Mr. Marley?
We do, indeed.
We absolutely do.
Let's welcome a gentleman that kindly agreed to join us for the beginning of the show today. A very funny man. I love saying that because I feel like a real talk show host. A very funny man. Mr. Bob Marley. Bob!
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, Bob. We're doing great, Bob Marley.
I am held up in a bunker up here in Maine, and I'm waiting for Armageddon, the windstorm, of which nothing is happening right now.
Oh, so you're not getting anything. You were born in Portland, Maine. Are you in southern Maine, or are you in any other part of that massive state?
Yeah, I was actually born in Bangor, but I'm in Portland now. But, so we haven't got slammed with it yet, but they're full force up here. You know, we had that huge windstorm in October, which was, that one came out of nowhere, and we all took it for granted. My wife and I were watching the local news guy, and he's like, we got gale force winds coming out there. And my wife goes, put it back on Shark Tank, Bob. This is going to be nice.
Shark Tank. Put it on Shark Tank, Bob. There we are.
3 o'clock in the morning, a birch tree comes through the living room. I'm like, huh, seems to be developing for something that's nothing. So I'm down there in my underwears and a pair of flip-flops and a chainsaw cutting the tree up. She's yelling at me, "What, Bob. I go, what, babe? She goes, you need to put some clothes on. I'm like, you're worried about my outfit? There's a tree in the living room right now. Probably a little more pressing.
You're a true Mainer, you know, out there with a chainsaw in your boxers. Now, listen, Bob, I got to talk. I want to do some Maine talk because I split my time in southern Florida, and then I'm up in Hancock.
That's 40... what your producer told me. Hancock County, dude, up there. Right. Those guys are like, you don't even know what they're saying.
You know what? All right. We're going to do
I've seen your license plate, O'Meara, coming up from someplace else here, in fancy Virginia, whatever. I don't know what you're thinking, but what don't matter?
Here's the deal. All right. Let me give you the background. Here's the thing, Bob Marley. You know Maine. You were born in Maine. Maine's a big part of what you talk about. This is my observation, all right? Growing up and having summers up there in Hancock County, Hancock Point specifically. Now I live in Hancock. And growing up there, it was always fascinating. It was kind of quaint. It was kind of cute. There were men that my father would have conversations with where I literally would not understand what the man was saying. There was a guy, Tommy Andrews, that ran a boat yacht, and he would have a conversation, and he had this kind of slow-witted sidekick Toot it was Tommy and Toot, and so he'd be talking to my father, and our yacht was a 17-foot Boston Whaler, so that's what I grew up on, and he would I will give you what it sounded like. Tommy would come down and talk to my dad and say, "Well, Jesus Christ, Bill, I don't want to hear something Toot." God damn it, go over there, go there, that thing like that. And I would be sitting there just with my mouth agape. My father would be having a regular conversation with him. And it was quaint. Let me tell you, Bob, my impression now, the locals up in Hancock County, Maine has gotten really pissed off, Bob. It's a pissed off state right now. And I want your take on it because you live there, my friend.
Yeah, I mean, well, listen, when you have a total amount of maybe 3 weeks of sunshine during the year, there's not a lot to look forward to.
I know.
You know, like we just had minus 24 degrees, like every morning we woke up for like 3 weeks in a row.
I know.
You wonder why people are disgruntled. Like, it shouldn't hurt to go outside as a person. you shouldn't go outside and just be like, "All right, I'm not going to make it to the car. I'm not. This is not going to happen." Like the only thing people do in Maine is plot their dismount. Like, when you get older, everyone's like, well, we'll get out of here at some point. When the, like, they're being paroled from prison. At some point, Joyce and I have got something set up. I guess her sister's got a double wide in Ocala.
They want to leave.
Probably when I'm 74 and have limited mobility and no desire to live, that's probably when we'll make our move.
Look, you think he's doing stick folks. He's talking about the weather. It is. It is weather related. I swear to God.
Oh my
I know
God.
People
and you bring up
there.
these guys in Maine. It's funny because they always do seem to have, they always come in packs.
Right.
There's always like the smartest guy of the group that does the speaking. And then there's always a guy like Toot, the other guy you mentioned.
Yeah. Sidekick. Yeah.
Yeah, like he'll say, well, I guess we could bring it around the other side. And he goes, yeah, don't just shut up, Kyle. I'll take care of it. You know, it's always a collection of guys you feel like, you know, they would either save a puppy or build a still in the yard. Like, you don't know.
and you can't tell. You can't like identify them.
Yeah, like they're wicked nice, but there's also an undertone of like, yeah, something's going on there. I don't know.
Yeah, you just there's that undercurrent of a little bit of hostility. And, you know, I'll tell you something, though, and this is the way I roll up there. I enjoy my family. Don't get me wrong. I enjoy the summer folk, but I enjoy and always have, maybe the way I was raised, I enjoy the people that live up there year round more because they get the whole summer thing. And that you just can't have a summer community anywhere without that level of elitism that people have, where people are just hanging out up there, and it's just like, oh, Biff, where are we going to bring the picnic on Saturday? And, you know, everybody else is like, oh, God damn it, they're just so full of crap, I can't even believe it, you know, and I'm mowing their goddamn lawn. I mean, it's just, it's the way they roll up there. It's,
you know, Maine people are kind of like the people from England, you know, where they're smiling, like going, oh, wonderful to see you, isn't it? And they have that tone of, you know, it's really not.
and
they're always called hardy. Maine people are always called hardy. Oh, they're hardy Mainers, which is basically means miserable. You know,
right.
You'll hear people in Maine. They'll say something like this. They'll say, oh, "It's not that bad up here, as long as you can, you know, if you can get through December, January, February, March, April, half of May. You know what I mean? Half the year is horrible, really. Half my life now that I think of it's been horrible.
You know, I look at families, you know, and you see maybe in a movie. I don't see it in real life. I see these families where there'll be greetings with hugs and kisses, and family members will say, I'm so glad to see you. And it's like, how have you been? Hello. That is the polar opposite with my family. There is a
chilliness.
My Maine relatives, when I will see them, I in many cases, it's been multi-years where 6 years will pass, and I'll see like a cousin, and you know I'm telling the truth here. I'll see a cousin of mine, and he'll say, hello, Michael. And that's it. Well, thanks. I'm so glad I haven't seen you in 6 years.
And he's almost staring at you like he's sniffing you out, like you might be a part of some kind of Russian dossier of some sort.
A whole bunch of warmth.
How are you, Michael? How are you?
That's it.
They give you the eyeball. You never know where they're coming from. It's definitely an interesting place to live. You know,
it is. You've been at it a long time. You gotta love it if you've been doing it as long as you've been doing it, Bob Marley.
I love it, and I love to come to DC because it's. I tell the audience all the time. It's a very well organized city. It's all the streets are numbered and lettered. So you know if you like to drink, you can go out and drink, and then you find your hotel room. It's like a game of Battleship every night. You know, L-47. I found it.
You've been traveling around. Is there any part of the country? And I know, you know, I've seen lots of your stand-up. So I mean, it's not just Maine, but you know, you identify yourself as a Mainer, and you do a lot of that. Is there any region? Because I'm always curious about this outside of New England. Where your stuff, where people track with it. Are there any, because you think in terms of, I guess the Washington, D.C. area is a very transient area. And then you talk about, that, let's say, the east coast of Florida, which is populated by a lot of New Yorkers and people down there. Are there regions of the country where you find more of a New England influence?
Well,
that
you'll get displaced New Englanders everywhere, you know. And then the places that they don't, like, if I go to Florida, I just give them a hard time. I'm like, you people have no idea what, like, real life is like. Like,
they don't. They don't.
Like, you know, I tell everybody, I'm like, because I'm 50 now, but I tell people on stage, I go, I'm only 18 years old. Look at me. This is what it does living in New England. I mean, I went to Arizona, and I was in Tempe, Arizona. I went to the mall at noon, and it was packed. Does anybody work out here? Who is he? What's going on? And everybody, I said, all the nails are done, and in New England, like, people walk around with like 3 cracked yellow toenails that barely made it through January. You know, I try to explain to them like what it's like to live up here. Like, I have a plow on my truck because I'm just splurging cash. I have a plow on my truck because it's necessary.
Right.
And
right.
We had 16 inches like a week and a half ago. My mother calls me word for word on the phone. She calls me. She goes, are you going to plow me tomorrow? And I go, well, I'll remove the snow from your yard, maybe. But maybe we should change the phrasing on that. No, Bobby. I really need to be plowed.
Oh, dear.
I might have to be plowed twice. Once tonight and once in the morning.
Come on over,
if
Bobby.
If you can't plow me, could you send one of your friends over to plow me, maybe?
It's been a rough winter.
I call my mother the Irish Catholic Guilt Distribution Center.
Oh, my God. Oh, no.
In the last 10 months, she's broken both of her hips and her back.
Wow.
And yeah, she's back on. She's Irish, though. She's tough. She's back. She's on the walker. She's got the walker going. So we go to pick her up for supper. We're taking her over to Governor's Restaurant.
Governor's. Oh, my God. I love Governor's. I talk about Governor's all the time. It's a good value, isn't it, Bob?
Yeah. Oh, it's wicked sharp. So I pull into the yard. She comes out with her walker, and she's got her walker, and she's like, she sees us in the truck. I roll the window down. I said, Mom, I'm coming out to help you. I don't need you. I didn't need you yesterday, Bobby. I don't need you tomorrow, and I don't need you right now. So we're fighting in the driveway, and it's like literally 18 minutes for her to get to the car, and my 10-year-old's in the back seat. He's like, Dad, can we just leave her in the driveway? I'm starving to death. This is horrible.
I have asked you, how young is your beautiful mom?
She's 77, and she grew up here. She loves Maine. She's from Maine. And, you know, she's on the walker now with the tennis balls on the bottom.
Nice. Nice touch.
I don't know who's in charge of that, by the way. Like, why can't we get – we can't put anybody on that for a couple – Elon Musk just shot 3 rockets into space 400,000 miles. 2 of them came back down and landed on the same spot. Like, he can't take 15 minutes and solve the tennis ball walker dilemma.
Some sort of technology to go under the walker that might be
she
a little bit better.
She called me last week. She goes, "Kid, if you're out, could you stop at Walmart and get me 4 cans of tennis balls?" I'm like, sure enough, Billie Jean, you're playing doubles over there? What's going on? And my sister picks. That's the other thing about Maine, Mike. You know this.
Yeah.
People just kind of hang out or live, you know, living situations. It doesn't. People just get by.
Right.
Like, my sister lives with my mother, and she's 51 years old. So that'll give you the full scope of choices that my sister's made in her life.
I gotta lay this on you with Governor's, because Governor's, for those of you around the country who don't know, it's a chain restaurant up in Maine. It is it is where the locals go, and if you spend enough time up there, it's where you know even visitors can go there.
Right.
The thing I noticed about Governor's, Bob, and I don't know whether you're aware of this, you know it is a health food restaurant when you go into the men's room and you have a special distribution center for used diabetic needles. that are in, and also
they have, when you walk in, they've got showcases full of pies.
Pie. I'm pies
a showcase.
Yes.
Spinning yeah, every slowly. Yeah. Like yeah. like in the dimly lit wheel of death. And I was in there with my mother, and I looked at the, there was another couple, old main couple, and one guy looks at it, he goes, geez, look at that, mother. The pies are spinning around.
She goes, in the separate case.
Yeah.
In the separate case you have there.
And that, that's the thing. Like, guys in Maine that are married, they call their wives mother, which is
mother.
Weird. Well, I don't know, mother. I'm like, that's not right.
That's not right at all.
And don't you think Maine people, because of the harshness, you know, you talked about the 50 thing. It's kind of like dog years. It's kind of, you know, 45 years old in Maine is a little different than 45 years old in the rest of the country.
Absolutely. And we have relatives that leave Maine. They're called snowbirds. And we have other words for them.
You're a little jealous of those folks a little bit?
My Aunt Teresa and my Uncle Dougie, they come to Thanksgiving every year, and they sit there, and all they talk about is when they're leaving to go to Florida. First of all, my Aunt Teresa will sit down, awful cold in here, Bobby. Do you have the heat on? And I'm like, no, we don't crank it up till Martin Luther King Day, babe. Oh, I'll be so glad when Monday comes and we can head to Florida. I'm like, well, you can head out now. There ain't nobody locking that Samsonite, babe.
the resentment of the snowbirds.
And then they'll actually say this. They go, I don't know how you people stay here year-round. Well, let me enlighten you, Teresa. We don't have enough money to buy another house in Florida, so we're kind of stuck here. But thanks for rubbing it in, Sea-Hag.
Sea-Hag!
Wow!
But my uncle then said, he goes, Bob, I was reading the Harvidian Time Journal for Journally Time Harvidians. It said that Maine had the highest prevalency of alcoholism. Now, why is that? I said, well, why don't you stay for the winter and you'll figure it out.
Yeah, they also enjoy, I've found over the years, there's another substance that kind of people enjoy in those long, long, cold winters. And I discovered it when the lady down the street, Bob, she sells us that crab meat during the summer. And, we went around the back where they said crab meat for sale, and there are probably about 70 to 80 marijuana plants right in the backyard. and then one of my buddies said, well, I said, well, they sell that too. He said, no, that's for their own use during the winter. That's when they do that. That's it.
Yeah, that's the lubricator. That's all. Oh, my sister gets after it. I mean, she lives with my mother. She doesn't mind a few starters in the morning. She starts them up, and then I go over to visit them. And this is, my sister always says to me, Bobby, do you have any idea at all why I live with Ma? Do you have any idea at all? Because I keep an eye on Ma. Do you understand? Well, you're out every night doing your fat jokes, hanging out with Lionel Richie or whoever. I'm keeping an eye on Ma. I'm like, well, you are doing a heck of a job. She has broken every bone in her body. She's on the walker over here. Keeping an eye on her. What are you watching her roll down the stairs? Like Evel Knievel.
Oh, Bob, always a pleasure. Please come. When you get to town the next time, please come on the show. Stop in the panel with us. We'd love to have you on.
Thank you guys so much for having me on this morning. And Mike, be wicked, and we'll catch up with you sooner than later, Bob.
TMOS Classic.
And now back to I'm Dickens, he's Fenster, already in progress. Oh, your brain. Let's open up the audio vault and take it away, Rob Spiewak.
Mike, the movie is called Greyhound, and it's on Apple TV. Ooh. And it's the Tom Hanks movie about the submarine, and it's not doing very well. Oh, I'm sorry, you want to jump in? Go ahead.
I have a question.
Yeah.
So my Vizio television.
Yes.
My Vizio apparently has a war with Apple. I guess that's the way to go.
I looked it up as well. You're not going to get the... You have to have an actual hardware Apple TV in order for it to work the way you want it.
First looks like problems. I won't be watching it.
Not a big
deal. Looks like I won't be watching the morning show.
All right, well, Mike,
It looks like the movie's not doing that good because Tom Hanks has done another one of his good guy things to get him in the news.
I saw this and somebody hipped you to it, right?
Of course. And he revealed that his first job was selling hot dogs for the Oakland Athletics in the stadium, I may or may not believe. So he has recorded virtual dialogue of him selling hot dogs to play during the virtual Oakland Athletics broadcast. Why? So you watch the submarine movie. I can't even make the connection on this one.
So basically, you hear Woody selling hot dogs.
Here's what it sounds like when you're watching the A's game.
Hot dog! Colossal hot dog!
They mix this in with the crowd noise.
Colossal hot dog! It's not a ball game without a hot dog. Who wants a hot dog? Hot dog here, hot dog, colossal hot dog, colossal dogs, hot dog.
And remember, Greyhound, available on Apple TV.
He was pissed that Greyhound was, with the pandemic, wouldn't be coming out in theaters, and the movie getting sort of so-so reviews.
I think moderate reviews.
Just moderate reviews.
It's as good as an Oakland Athletics hot dog. That's what they're saying.
The worst.
Do you have your decorations up, Mike? Today is July 27th. It's Bagpipe Appreciation Day.
Yes! I love them.
And I know you guys love bagpipes, so I couldn't let it go.
Well, why do you need decorations? Because
I just thought it was a big day for you. Bagpipe Appreciation Day. Put up your bagpipe tree, light all your bagpipe candles. I don't know. Now
I understand it. I thought, did you have at one point bagpipes that were played badly? I seem to remember you had bagpipes.
Let me do a dive and find it for tomorrow. It was something, I think it was like bagpipes that were run by a machine or I'll have to find.
If you did a YouTube search, probably get bagpipes played badly.
I don't mind when the bagpipes are really in hot rock and rock, like in the middle of that. But when the bagpipes start and when the bagpipes end, that's what's funny.
You played one about, for a time there were people playing their instruments in public just so people would listen.
There was one of that. And I remember a guy playing bagpipes while he bungee jumped. That might be the one that I'm thinking now.
I never request a theme audio vault.
You want a bagpipe audio vault?
Yes! I request a theme sometime in the next week or two, a theme audio vault of bad musicians, of instruments being played badly.
I've got some good ones. I've got some good ones. That's a great request. I think that
was like side by side.
That would be funny. I'd like that.
That'd be funny.
I'd watch that. I'd watch a video of that. That'd be great.
Happy 80th birthday today to someone. I did this for your son, Mike. Make sure he hears this segment. Happy 80th birthday to Bugs Bunny. Aww. Bugs Bunny debuted 80 years ago today.
What's up, Doc? It's a wabbit down here, and I'm trying to catch him.
What do you mean?
Summer fun.
Wabbit. Yes. Wabbits. You know, with big, long ears.
Oh, like these?
Yeah, and a winter white fluffy tail.
Like this?
Yep. And he hops around and around.
Oh, like this?
Pardon me, but you know, you look just like a wabbit.
Listen, Doc. Now, don't spread this around. But, confidentially, I am a wabbit!
That's right.
I cannot tell you.
A cartoon called A Wild Hair that debuted 80 years ago today.
How gratifying it is that of all the stuff, all the crap that's out there, my son's two favorite cartoons are Tom and Jerry and Looney Tunes. And we can sit there and watch Looney Tunes and laugh out loud together. I'm blown away by it. That has to tell you how the level of quality they put out with the voice and everything. Oh, my God. Fantastic.
I think it has to do with the fact that at Warner Brothers in the 40s, that animation studio was sort of a standalone unit. And there was a lot of talented people trying to make each other laugh. And that's why they weren't catering to anybody except themselves. And they are very timeless.
TMOS Classic.
Talking of animation, speaking of animation, this is so dark and weird. Deepfake, when you see deepfake stuff on YouTube, it always flips me out a little bit because it's a little too real. The nerds at MIT did a deepfake of President Nixon. Now, we've talked about in the past that in the National Archives, there was a speech written for if the Apollo 11 astronauts passed on the trip to the moon. They were prepared for this consequence. And that speech exists, and we've actually discussed it on this show. They did a deep fake where they took a video of Richard Nixon. They got a voiceover artist to read the speech and did what it would have looked like if he had addressed the nation if the astronauts had died when the moon landing happened.
Good evening, my fellow Americans. Fate has ordained that the men who went to the moon to explore in peace will stay on the moon to rest in peace. Every human being who looks up at the moon in the nights to come will know that there is some corner of another world that is forever mankind.
It's just so weird to look at it's because it looks
such a spectacular Nixon.
Mike, you must watch it, though. Ooh, I know I wouldn't have pulled the audio if it wasn't good, but when you see it, and they've actually matched it to that late 60s grainy videotape look, it is cool. Really great. Weird.
Great.
But bless their hearts, that's what the nerds at MIT are doing. And, TikTok is not just dancers, Oscar.
What?
Apparently, one of the biggest guys that's trending on TikTok right now is named Jacob Pena. Because his thumbs are 6 inches long.
1, 2, 3, 4, I declare a thumb war. Never lost a thumb war. Yes, it's real, but the thing is, I have to, like, dislocate it and extend it for it to look long. Does anybody you know have a 6-inch thumb?
So if you say Americans are craving entertainment, I say it's out there. You just got to find it. Now, if I could, I'd love to see Richard Nixon talk about his thumbs.
Man, that guy and that guy's feeling really, really good. I heard he was in the pink.
Mike, I love when powerful people act like toddlers. And I had to actually print out the setup for this. This happened in Congress yesterday. Former Deputy Attorney General Donald Ayer, A-Y-E-R, testified in Congress yesterday, and he was criticizing Attorney General William Barr. His opening statement went really long. So House Judiciary Chairman Jerry Nadler let him keep going, which angered Republican Congressman Louis Gohmert, who started feverishly tapping his ring just to be a problem. So here is on the congressional floor yesterday. Listen to this exchange.
Is it on the floor or is it in a committee room? It's probably a committee hearing.
They were vague here, but listen to him tapping his ring. He's a toddler.
But to me, Barr's crowning dishonesty is the portrait of Edward Leavy that a recent New York Times article showed hanging on the wall of his conference room.
Regular order. The witness will conclude.
Regular order is right.
We're way beyond regular order.
What?
The witness will continue.
Can I have one more sentence here?
By all means.
Okay.
That the sergeant at arms
witness
be called upon to stop the disruption of this meeting.
Yeah, well, he's way beyond
the chair.
And if there are no rules about when people can talk, there's no rules about when you can make noise.
You guys voted for that. So congratulations.
Unbelievable. Wow.
You know, I don't think we do our jobs. Like, everyone's accountable.
Yeah.
Like, how are these people not held accountable?
I don't know. I think that he shouldn't be allowed to wear jewelry.
By the way, who still wears their class ring?
Yeah. That's right.
Come on.
Only when VCU makes it to the Elite Eight. That's when I get it out.
Yep. Whip it out, baby. Whip it out.
You mentioned Dr. Fauci's first pitch a little to the left.
So sad. It wasn't. I didn't care. I didn't care. He was out there doing it.
Yeah, but this is what sucks. He's got, like, he had the mechanics 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, he had it, right? So, yes. And even, look, you've seen Baba Booey, 50 Cent. You've had Carly Rae Jepsen when she was some, like, just, there's people whiff.
Yeah, right. All the time.
What is tough about seeing that happen is because you're rooting for this doctor that will go down as a great American hero.
Literally an international hero. You want him to do well.
It just feels like this should have been pre-taped. No one would have known.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it could have been done.
August 15th, Trump at Yankee Stadium.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I think that's coming up. And the only thing that's not going to make that fun is no crowd.
That's right. So here's how
it would be really exciting.
Like the World Series.
Yeah, absolutely.
Here's how the announcers handled Doc. This is, you don't actually hear cheering or anything because the park's
nobody's
empty.
Yeah.
So this is the announcers reacting to the what some people are calling a wild pitch.
Well, Dr. Anthony Fauci now, not in front of a large crowd, but certainly in front of a national television audience.
I would have thought, given just how big a fan he is of baseball, that that would have been something. But look, the man has been so busy, that is not something he probably has had time to practice.
I'm speechless, Carl. I'm speechless.
So he bounced it through a little wide.
You know, it's like, he hasn't had time to practice.
That's funny. That's funny.
Also last night in Washington, D.C., the first home run of the year was hit by New York Yankee Giancarlo Stanton. The Yankees handily beat
Giancarlo,
and he hit a home run way up.
So Judge off second with two out, and it'll be a 1-1 to Stanton. And the pitch is swung on and hit high in the air to left center. That ball is high. It is far. It is gone. Away back in the left center field seats.
Who's the play-by-play? Is that a radio play-by-play guy?
It's a New York radio, yeah.
Giancarlo. No si può stopparlo. Oh, what a shot by Stanton. It's a two-run dinger, and the Yankees immediately take a 2-0 lead.
What I love about
like
it...
He's drinking bourbon.
Yeah.
He might be.
Giancarlo, se puede vaswalo.
They brought up an interesting point on the ESPN broadcast, is that there's no fan up there to get the ball. They got to send like a stadium employee to go clean up the home runs.
It's weird. Did you look in a little?
As you know, Mike, I don't have ESPN.
Yeah, I know. Right. I'm aware of that.
Yep. I watched. It was cool to see happen. It was depressing.
Sorry.
I'm happy. It was one of these things where like, yeah, damn it. I thought this would be cooler. I also know that it's probably going to be better when Fox has like the digital crowd built in. I like
to see
that
CGI happens. Cars. Yeah.
And then if the Nationals had a better layout of like even the cardboard cutouts, that would have been fun all over the stadium.
Like the Natural, like a scene from
like
the Natural.
Something like
that. Why can't we get the crowd from the Natural and put them in with CGI? And like in the seventh inning, Glenn Close stands
up. I'm spoiled because Mike, when you watch the NBA launch here at the end of the month, you're gonna see what I mean when Disney World made it look like a completely different game where you're in the future. It looks
just
beautiful.
Got an idea. Got a great idea. How much does it cost to get cardboard cutouts?
Oh, we can't. They have all of the... It costs $300, and you can't put a logo on it. You can't put anything. I can put your likeness, but I can't put a logo or website
but
or anything on it.
Could I get like a picture without a logo? Could we... I'm not talking about cardboard cutouts of us.
Okay.
I'm not talking about having them done for the show.
Uh-huh.
Did you see corporate... I'm going to tell my family. I work this time of morning. Jesus Christ!
We didn't hear.
Please,
we didn't
respect
hear anything.
That.
Please,
God Almighty! I'm sorry. You want to power wash your deck? Me,
you break it, Mike. Yell, you break it, you buy it.
Right.
No, I'm talking about what would be funny.
Yes.
If we could get discarded ones for cheap, and just every periodically we have like a cardboard cutout during the show, like in Back of Mirror and Back of Robber and Back of
Genius. That is genius.
And we stockpile them. And then the more we get, the more people we can put in Back of
Us. I love it. I love it.
We could build it up. It would eventually look like the cover of Sgt. Pepper's. It would be us and a million people all together. It'd be great. Realistic sex dolls sales are through the roof. The biggest market for realistic sex dolls during the pandemic is Germany. And this is a man who was interviewed. This is actually a British guy. They electronically altered his voice, but he's very, very happy that he has his special friends.
Right now, I have five lovely ladies. But now with the pandemic, living on your own, one of the biggest things is loneliness. Sometimes you just want a hand to hold. Dressing them, undressing them, and taking photos of them. It's quite amazing how much they can lift one's mood. Without the dolls, I don't think I would be able to get through the pandemic. I think I would get cranky and unhappy if I didn't have these dolls to keep me occupied.
Mike, this just handed me. His voice was not electronically altered. The fourth doll is filled with helium. Okay, I have been a fan of the Muppets since the Muppets began. I was a Sesame Street baby. I love all their product, love the Muppet Show, love their movies. But I'm troubled because they dropped a trailer on Disney Plus for a new Muppet Show called Muppets Now. And it looks like a good idea because they're going to bring stars in and they're going to actually do improv. It's the first unscripted Muppets venture.
Oh, wow.
Which is kind of a neat idea. But Mike, you're going to have a same problem I think I did. Kermit's voice is wrong now.
Oh, no. That's not a hard voice to do.
I know. Listen to the... I mean,
it's not easy being green.
They've had a couple since Jim Henson passed, but this doesn't sound right to me.
A Disney Plus announcement with Kermit the Frog and Joe from Legal. Wait, what? The Muppets are creating an incredible new show for
Disney Plus.
He's not
working it.
Hi.
Right? It's
He's
lazy.
He's doing Kermit lazy.
Oh, wait. Is it Kermit from home because of COVID-19? Is he just like talking into like his USB mic?
He has it right there for a second, and then he flies out of it.
Yeah, listen, I mean, it's just, it's not right.
Be wild and funny. And it's going to feature some new friends. Friends like...
No details about celebrity guests.
I was just going to show everyone.
Over my dead legal briefs.
It's a bunch of radio voices.
Yeah, it really bothered me. It really bothered me because I'm a Muppet guy. And
punted.
Do the voices right, please. Mm. Please.
Well, you know, in fairness to all those guys, I do a Kermit impression, but you know what? It's still an impression. And the originals, like Mel Blanc, Looney Tunes couldn't do it, you know?
You're right. Mm-hmm.
Sylvester the Cat, I don't know if you ever saw the one where Sylvester's taken by the little girl who just abuses the hell out of him.
Abuses him and loves him.
Fantastic. Oh, my. Anytime when they're trying to get away, it reminds me of Winslow.
And, Mike, you know, one of the great Muppet voices of all time, Frank Oz, was also the voice of Yoda. And so I actually happened on this. There was an amazing Star Wars merchandise auction. I don't have any Star Wars toys that I kept. I kept a lot of stuff. I don't have any Star Wars stuff. The stuff is amazingly collectible.
An extremely rare Star Wars action figure has gone up for auction and is expected to sell for more than $225,000. Apparently, it's an intricately sculpted figure of a female audience member.
I like the mysticism. Answer me these questions three.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara Radio Entertainment.